Is your recorder ready to go, John?
It's on, yep.
Well, at 6 o'clock, 6:01, we'll call the meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Pomfret Select Board, and it is to speak with three candidates regarding HR assistance for the board with employees. And I'm going to turn it over to Scott because he has talked with these three and he has them organized.
We got to do the usual rituals on public comment. You know,
does anybody want to make a public comment? Are any additions or delineations to the agenda for this part of the meeting? There's the only thing on the agenda are these three HR people.
Okay.
To complete calls beyond your local area, you must dial a 1 plus the area.
Are these interviews being done by phone or are they coming in person?
It's going to be done by the box.
This is Erica.
Hey, Erica. Scott Woodward here.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful, thanks.
So we are all here, we, the five members of the select board, as well as our select board assistants and members of the public. Maybe it'd be good to do quick introductions and then get started.
Sounds great.
What do you want to do? Go ahead.
Frank Carrier, select board.
John Peters, select board.
Scott Woodward, do you know me?
Steve Chamberlain, select board.
Cynthia Hewitt, secretary.
Emily Groove, select board.
Right.
And three members of the public.
Wonderful, thank you.
So we'll hand it off to you, Erica.
Sure. So my name is Erica Schramm, and thanks, first of all, for the opportunity to talk to all of you. Scott called me because he indicated that you were looking for somebody to help support you with your HR needs, looking at your current systems and helping you identify areas where you can put in place, you know, relatively simple processes to improve the effectiveness of how you run your town from an HR perspective. And I would be honored to do exactly that for your town. My background, I've been an HR person for 20 years, leading HR teams for the past 16 years. And a year ago, I started my own consulting and coaching business where I work primarily with small nonprofits and individual clients to help them create HR systems and leadership development programs. In addition, I've also been on a number of boards, and with my HR background, I've worked with those boards and helped them put in place some HR systems. So given the needs that Scott outlined for me, I think I would be able to come in and pretty quickly and easily help you identify where's that low-hanging fruit that you can make some changes in and really try to improve your systems and your approach. So that's a little bit about me, and I'm happy to answer any questions and happy to go deeper into any area that seems helpful and important for you.
Does anybody want to jump in?
I just have one question. Do you have any experience dealing with employees that have CDLs and the requirements for drug testing and all that stuff?
I've worked with employers who have drug test and background check requirements. In terms of CDLs, no, not specifically.
Okay. Well, I understand. Okay. So I guess just a follow-up question. So are you familiar with the drug testing program for CDL holders? Which one of our things we need to do for our HR requirements is to oversee and make sure we have a proper policy in place and it is getting administered.
Okay. So that's something I would need to get up to speed on.
Okay.
I know how I would go about getting up to speed on it. It would be a combination of looking at the requirements themselves and talking to some fellow colleagues who have worked in that type of an environment, but that is something I would need to get up to speed on before I work.
Okay, fair enough. It's relatively easy. I actually worked on that some. That's the reason I asked it. And VLCT has resources to help.
Okay.
Thanks.
Erica, this is Scott. I have a question for you around your experience maybe working with small businesses, small employers who maybe don't have the mature internal processes in place, and whether you've worked with clients like that and what your approach has been in working with organizations that in some sense are really kind of starting from having very little in place, and how do you, what's the process like to get up to maybe a more professional level of HR management?
Yeah, I have two recent examples. One is I'm working right now for a very small four-person interfaith religious institution in Chittenden County, and I'm working with them on looking at their systems and their protocols and helping them adopt process where they need to and not adopt process where they don't. I'm also helping them with some hiring practices. So my process there has been really trying to understand what's working, what's not, and trying to find resources that help meet their needs in a way that is easy to administer and easy to implement. The other example is I'm on a board for a organization locally called Generator Vermont. It's a maker space here in Chittenden County. And I'm working with their executive director to help them create a handbook and role description and some basic personnel policies. They're trying to identify what they need and how they can grow and mature. So those are two examples I'm working on right now.
In working with those smaller organizations, have you, for example, helped them work on aligning their benefits packets, for example, their benefits and compensation packages, and how they sort of standardize those and figure out how to have a method behind all that?
Yes. I'm working right now on the benefits package for the small interfaith community. And I'm also working with the nonprofit, with the generator, on helping them come up with a compensation system and plan where they're giving people base pay increases based on a consistent format. And in this case, they're coming up with an incentive plan that helps measure people's pay against their performance. And so I'm working with both of them in that regard.
Eric, what kind of challenges have you seen in working with small organizations?
I think one thing I would want to be mindful of is that, one, recognizing that you yourself and your staff don't have the skills, or not necessarily the skills, don't necessarily have the experience or the time to focus on HR systems. We don't want to put anything in place that is too onerous or complex. We want to create something that's easy to administer. And so time is always a barrier. People are pulled in so many different directions to get people to focus on how we can create clear and easy to use systems is always a challenge. And I think that there's also, a hesitance to change the way things are working, and so really trying to work with you as the select board to identify what's most important, why is it important, how can we make sure that if we are implementing any changes, we're doing so in a way that really meets your needs, and that we communicate any of those changes to your staff so that they understand why we're making changes, and it doesn't feel like I'm that big bad HR person who's coming in to put process for process taking place. So that's just a regular ongoing challenge anytime you implement changes, and I think especially in smaller organizations that haven't had that opportunity before.
Mm-hmm. This is Frank Perrin again. Have you worked with businesses or groups that have what I call mixed employees? And I'll give you an example. Our town, we have some full-time employees that get full benefits, and then we have quite a number of part-time employees that may or may not get any benefits at all. And one of the problems is that, you know, trying to be equitable. The other problem we have, or I won't say it's a problem, but potentially could be, is we have some part-time people that have worked, you know, 20 years. I'll pick on the listers. The listers, we have a lister who's worked here for many, many years. He gets paid the same rate as the entrance level lister, and you know. You know, how do we handle that? We sort of just blanket those, but there are questions about, you know, should we be paying them, you know, benefits like vacation or you know, sick pay or those other kinds of things. And some of them border on, I'm not sure I looked at the records, but some of them border on working enough hours so they're more of a full-time employee. So that's sort of a broad question.
Yeah, I've certainly worked on you know, with the smaller organizations where there's a combination of full-time and part-time employees. I've also worked in organizations where there's employees that are also paid as contractors based on the nature of their work. And then in the larger organizations where I've worked, we've always had a combination of full-time and part-time employees. And so I think the opportunity is to look at what makes the most sense for your town, being mindful of your budget and what you're trying to create, and then coming up with simple criteria for identifying who's eligible for what and making sure that, you know, we do an audit to understand who meets the criteria, who doesn't, and what's the right approach for the town.
Great, thanks.
Of course.
How much, given that you know nothing about the current policies and stuff that we have, how much time do you think that you would have into getting this set up and then on a continual basis?
Well, I think that would obviously depend on the complexity of your system and what you are trying to create. But I think my approach would be asking you for basic documents that exist already, and so I can do my best to read them before we meet and get up to speed. And then I would envision coming to conference to meet with all of you who are available and really trying and asking you some questions that I would give you in advance so you could think about them to try to understand what your needs are, what's working, what doesn't work. And then from there, I would go back and, you know, try to come up with some recommendations. So I would hate to give you a specific number of hours because I don't know what I don't know, but my intention would be to try to keep it as simple and streamlined as possible and follow your lead on the scope that makes the most sense for you.
On an ongoing basis, though, Erica, would you imagine it's really, once things are in place, it's really not a lot of effort after that? Is that what your expectation would be?
That would be my expectation. I think what would make sense then, I think, would be to have me be on call for you as questions arise. And depending on the systems that we put in place, if we put in place, you know, a system for employee benefits or some type of a performance review process, perhaps in the first year or two, I play a coaching role with you and whoever's going to be administering the program so that you understand how it works. But then on an ongoing basis, my goal would be that whatever I create is something that, you know, you and your team could administer on your own with me there to support you for questions here and there as it comes up.
When you work with, this is Emily, when you work with towns, if you have, do you have any thoughts on how you distinguish employees versus elected officials that become employees but really aren't employees?
Uh-huh.
Do you follow my drift?
Yeah, totally. I don't have experience in that area, but I think what I would do if I could do this work with you is the first thing I would do is I would talk to Jill Muir, who is the HR person for Vermont League of Cities and Towns, and try to understand from her what's the best practice for the different towns across the state, so that I come in and get myself informed as quickly as possible. So that would be an area where I have to better understand what best practice is.
Thank you.
Frank Perrin again, another question. As we talk, I keep thinking up questions. One of the things is we've struggled with keeping up with performance evaluations, especially, so I'll focus on those. Would it be possible for you to be tasked to sort of nag us, for lack of a better word, on keeping those documents up to date and those mm-hmm. kinds of things?
Yeah, I think if that was something that was important for you, I think what we could do is we could identify what are those systems that you want to put in place, performance evaluations being one of them, and we can put together a calendar or a schedule and build a tickler system where, you know, if that's something that you want nagging on, I can be your nag. I'm hoping that I said that's not a huge part of the role because no one wants to nag. But what we could do is put together a calendar and a system in place so that we know what needs to happen when and figure out the best way to keep track of records as they come up.
Okay, thanks. It's just that as a board member, we deal with many, many things and sometimes get caught up in other things.
And
HR tends to fall by the wayside because it usually is not as pressing as other things. So that's the reason I asked the question.
That makes a lot of sense.
You taking any questions from the public?
Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes.
I was wondering have you worked with any municipalities, and if so, which ones?
I have not worked directly with any municipalities, no.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Any other questions from anywhere else? Alma?
Erica, this is Alma Chase. I'm in the audience here. You have your own business. You do not work for the VLTC. Is that what I'm understanding?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the question.
She asked if you had your own business. You are not working for VLTC, correct?
That is correct. I have my own coaching consulting business formed as an LLC. And I was referred by Vermont League of Cities and Towns, but I'm not part of Vermont League of Cities and Towns.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? And I guess we thank you for your time, Erica. And
thank you.
We've got two more people to talk with, and we'll be getting back in touch with you.
That sounds great. If other questions come up, please let me know.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Take good care.
Bye, Erica.
Bye-bye.
Jenny, this is Scott Woodward calling from Concord.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, Jenny. So we've got the rest of the select board here, and we'll do some quick introductions and then we'll dive in.
Okay, great.
My name is Frank Perrin. I'm on the select board.
John Peters, select board.
Scott Woodward, you know me from our conversations.
Steve Chair, yeah. Select board.
Cynthia Hewitt, secretary.
Emily Green, select board.
And Jenny, why don't you jump in and tell us a little bit about yourself and your services and so forth.
So, my name is Jenny Champney. I run a HR consulting company. I've been in business about 6 years. Prior to that, I was the HR director for an international manufacturing company for over 20 years, close to 25 years. And in that role, I was I did everything HR. I did benefits administration. I did recruiting. I ensured the company stayed in compliance. We had employees scattered around the country, so I ensured that we were in compliance in the various states. As an HR consultant, I currently provide those similar services to companies who are smaller and need kind of HR on demand, I guess. I've had a long-term relationship with a few companies. One has me working for them regularly, probably 20 to 30 hours a month, and I provide support to their employees who are within the U.S. And that means, you know, making sure payroll is in compliance, handling their benefits. I just did a kind of a go-to-meeting benefits orientation today because we are in the middle of open enrollment. I have other companies that I've gone in and done HR audits for, written handbooks, developed onboarding programs. Just about anything you can think about that HR would do, I'm sure I probably have done it. Does that answer your question? So you can ask me questions of things that I might have missed in my summary.
Okay. This is Frank Perrin. I'm going to try to ask the same questions of all people. Are you familiar with employees that hold CDLs and the DOT requirements and the drug testing policies and all that stuff?
Well, my husband held a CDL and worked for the state of Vermont for almost 30 years, so I'm aware that I've never done that specifically, but I know that people with CDL license, you can do spots on kind of a regular routine of drug testing. I think if he thought he was targeted sometimes because his name seemed to get drawn out of the hat like every year. But I am aware of the regulations around the CDL and that we have a lot more leeway with CDL and drug testing CDL drivers than anyone else.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it does. Basically, that's one of the things that we're, you know, trying to keep up with and just need to. We have a thing that's called a designated driver qualifications folder, and that's something where we have a checklist of things that's relatively easy to keep track of. I used to do it, and so that's why I'm familiar with it. So it's another HR thing that I think falls in line with what you've done before. As long as I got y'all, I'll ask y'all my questions that I can think of. The other question is we sort of have this situation where we have our town has full-time employees with benefits, and we have part-time employees, and I actually got reminded in the last go-around. We also hire contractors, and I guess my question is, have you worked with companies or outfits where, you know, you sort of have this mixed bag of people because some get treated differently than others because of either the hours they work or whatever?
So at the company I worked at, we had full-time, part-time, temporary, and contract employees, so I understood that. Also, for the company that I provide the ongoing HR services for, we hire contractors. We have a couple of part-time employees, not many, as well as full-time employees. Cover it?
Yeah, basically, you know, one of the things we struggle with is how to treat them in an equitable way, you know, based on, well, some of the part-time people who are also elected officials, they're elected officials, but we treat them as employees and we pay them, and just, you know, how we can sort of deal with those. The next question.
Well, I did do some work for another town, and they had the same scenario that elected officials that they treated like, you know, like everyone else, mm-hmm. I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't differentiate between benefits or anything between the elected official and the employee, full-time employee. But I think that depends on the town and what they've traditionally done.
Yeah, and again, I think that's something we're sort of struggling with. It flares up once in a while, and so do you mind telling us what town you work for?
Well,
I mean,
I did some work for the town of Waterbury. I did some work for the town of St. Albans.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I did some work for another town a while ago. This is, and both of those were a few years ago.
Okay.
So I don't have all the details right in my head, but those are the two towns that I can think of, although I have. Oh, I think when I was a navigator for the state that I met with other towns. That's why I'm thinking I did work for other towns. But I think the HR work I did was just for Waterbury and the town of St. Albans.
Okay. I guess what I was searching for is whether or not you had experience sort of negotiating those kind of employees. The last question, which may be the most important, at least in my mind, is we as a select board have a what seems like a million things to keep track of, and I was wondering if you have or would provide us with reminders, perhaps, when we need to do either pay reviews or performance reviews and those kinds of things, so you could kind of be an aid to say, hey, you know, send us an email and say, hey, you know, you got XYZ's performance reviews, it's got to be done this month or whatever, because we just need someone to kind of keep us organized in that area.
Mm-hmm. Right. I looked and see what needed to be kept track of, and then I tried to come up with a tool that would work for all of us to be sure that we stay on top of all the deadlines.
Okay.
You know, I tend to set appointments through, I have Outlook and Google Docs, and I tend to go in and set up appointments and reminders for a year out so that I don't miss anything. So I would look into what you have to keep track of and come up with a tool that would work for all of us, I think.
Okay, and that's basically what I was looking for, is once you... You know, you said one word early on that you help towns stay, or your companies you work for stay within compliance. And that's really our goal here, is to help have us someone augment that, to help us keep us in compliance and up to date with our personal actions.
Right. It should be simple enough that you don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
Jenny, this is Scott. Can you give us a sense of what it might look like if, you know, just, I know you don't know a lot about our current situation, but what you might do from, you know, day one, what kind of steps you might take, and I know you outlined it in the proposal you sent us, but if you could talk a little bit more about what that looks like, what do you think we might want to do to kind of get up and running and get things in place, and how it would look after that?
So I think I'd want to visit your offices where your personnel files are kept first and look through and see what you have, you know, from a standpoint of compliance issues, I-9s or anything like that. Look at the job descriptions and just see what you have first, and then move forward to address your most urgent items immediately. So I assume, you know, looking at what kind of timelines you have for different things, whether that's performance reviews or whether it's with whatever else you may have to look at on a regular basis, and make sure that you're caught to date with all of that, so that we start with a good place. So you know that performance reviews are all current and or scheduled to be done when they're supposed to be done. And then start working on maybe some of the other things that aren't as urgent but that you want to do, such as, Scott, you had mentioned developing a compensation structure. So I would say working on that after we look at what you have in place and what needs to be addressed immediately. And so I would say I'd probably come and visit your office where the files are kept first and move forward from there. I think as we've talked, I don't, because of the quantity of employees you have, I don't see this as requiring a great number of hours, you know, to get just complete it, unless it's something I'm not aware of.
I don't know that we're really imagining it either. I think it's really just to kind of get us on a good foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And to go from there and help, as Frank said, kind of help keep us organized. I guess one question for you as a follow-on, Jenny, is in working with St. Albans and Waterbury, what are some of the, what are the things that you have seen in your experience that has caught your attention that might be unique to town government, and maybe some things that we might want to think about?
Well, as I said, that was several years ago that I did those projects. The towns are very different than private industry, first and foremost. So, I think each town has its own kind of policies, their own kind of regulations to some degree, and how they operate, whether they have a union or they don't have a union, and whether they have training in place or they don't have training in place. So, I guess first I'd have to kind of know what the structure is for your people, whether you have a union or you don't have a union, or if there's certain guidelines you have to follow that you've agreed to over a period of time. I think that's the variances that I found in the town.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
It does, yep. Yeah, I think Frank alluded to this in his questions, is that I think we don't really have any formalized processes. Things have sort of happened organically over time. But I think, I guess just speaking for myself, is that we've kind of struggled to make sense of, as Frank talked about, some people who are elected officials and what their pay structure is like versus benefits, and rationalizing benefits packets, who we offer benefits to, who we don't offer benefits to, who's helping out in terms of, we do have a personnel policy and it's generally in pretty good shape, but even reviewing that, and we did actually have, about a year ago, Jill looked at our personnel policy and made a number of recommendations that I think are still outstanding. But things like that is just, I think, rationalizing across our structure and figuring out how to approach things and take it from being more organic to being more, a little bit more structured.
Right, which will save you time and energy in rethinking everything when something comes up, if you have that structure in place and policies up to date. It just takes a lot. I found in other companies it takes a lot of stress off people when they know that things are all lined up and the answer is kind of already there for them.
Do you have any questions, John?
No.
Steve?
I've got one more of a comment, I guess, but I'm not really asking this more as a question, but sort of as a statement. One of the things that while we have our own personnel policies and we try to develop some of those things, I guess the biggest thing I'd say we're looking for is for someone to keep us in compliance with state regulations and also acceptable HR standards. So that would be something that, while we, you may find something that we're doing in our policy that's not an acceptable practice, and so I would hope that you could ferret those things out.
Right.
Just to give you, this isn't right along the lines of what Frank's talking about, but I guess probably over a year ago now, we talked about restructuring our paid time off to a combined time off structure.
Mm-hmm.
Right now everything is separated, paid sick time, paid vacation time.
Oh yeah.
And we had talked about it being desirable to shift everything to a combined time off sort of structure that actually, mm-hmm. at least at the time, seemed appealing to people. And so that requires some thinking as well. Is that, have you helped either business?
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
A couple of the companies I've worked with recently, we've just done that, and it's been very smooth. People have really appreciated it. They like it better than keeping buckets
right.
of time.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, that's kind of a standard today. Hardly anybody keeps those separate buckets anymore. At least in private industry, they don't. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the towns have switched too. But again, you know, we have the resource of Vermont League of Cities and Towns, that I think have a lot of information across the state that we can also verify that it's, you know, because you want to stay kind of competitive within your, shall I call it, industry.
Right.
So that, I guess, you'd want to kind of be similar to what other towns are doing.
Right.
Or you could leave, because if you don't have a union, right?
Right, we're not unionized.
So you can, you know, you have a lot more flexibility than towns that do have unions.
Right.
Is there anything else I can answer for you?
Any other questions from the board? Any questions from the public?
I guess the only question that I've got is that you mentioned that you worked with Waterbury and St. Albans, but that was some time ago, and you've been in the business, I guess, recently on your own for 6 years. I'm just wondering how long it's going to take you to get up to speed with all the current state and federal regulations that may involve towns, and how and would that be a problem?
I have to apologize. I couldn't hear the entire question.
John, do you want to come closer?
You wanted to know how I kept up to date with federal and state regulations?
No, the question was that you had mentioned you worked for St. Albans and Waterbury, but that was some time ago, and I'm assuming that was maybe perhaps before you went into business on your own 6 years ago. And I was just curious as to what kind of a learning curve are you going to face in trying to get current with all the other towns and federal regulations and state regulations that might be current.
So I actually did the work for the two towns after I was in business. It was like maybe 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do any outside work while I was employed full-time for my employer up until the end of 2012. So actually it's been more than 6 years I've been in business. I apologize. But it was like, I think, around 2016 or 15 that I worked for the town. But I'm very up to date with all state federal regulations because that's what I do. That's the service I provide to all my clients, and I have to stay current with federal and state regulations and laws. As far as what the other towns are doing, I'm not sure how much you want me to investigate what all the other towns are doing regarding every policy. But if there's a specific area that you think might be an issue that you want to change, then I would want to investigate a little as to what other towns are doing and what other... You want to stay competitive. You want to keep your people working for you. So I would just want to make sure that you are staying competitive. That's all.
Thank
Did
you.
That answer your question?
Thank you, yes.
Any other questions? Board questions? We thank you for your time, Ginny, and we appreciate your talking with us, and we'll get back in touch with you.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hello, this is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. This is Scott Woodward calling from Pomfret.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So I have with me the rest of the select board, and we'll do some quick introductions. We also have some members of the public, but we'll just go around and introduce ourselves.
I'm Frank Perrin, select board.
John Peters, select board.
Scott Woodward.
Steve Chamberlain, select board.
Cynthia Hewitt, secretary.
Emily Groove, select board.
And Teresa, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about your background and expertise.
Sure. I'm Teresa Mealy. I reside in North Clarendon. I started my human resources company about 3 years ago. Prior to that, I was the HR manager and environmental health and safety specialist for Rutland Plywood. And I was there when we burned to the ground. And when we finished settling out the insurance claim, I needed to find something to do, and I decided that it would be interesting to provide services to small to medium-sized companies that really don't have a need for a full-time HR person. I've been in human resources for over 25 years now. I hate to admit that, but it's been over 25 years, and have had a variety of different opportunities in manufacturing, in particular, to be a human resources manager, met all kinds of really great people. And since that time, I have been working with companies who have anywhere from no employees because they're just getting started, and from there, anywhere from one up to 50 employees. The services that I provide, and I'll just kind of give kind of an overview and then an opportunity for folks to ask me any questions so that I'm zeroing in on what you are most interested in hearing about. The services I provide vary depending on the client. The industry sectors that I've been working with have been just fascinating because I've been able to branch out from manufacturing, although I'm still working with some small manufacturing companies, to the food industry, to retail, to municipalities. I've had the opportunity to do some project work for a couple of other towns, planning commissions, chambers of commerce, just all kinds of really interesting businesses and some really fascinating people and teams. I guess when you look at the best way to describe what I do is tying back to what I said previously. Essentially, I'm outsourced or freelance human resources. So when you think about kind of the employment span of employees, it includes pre-hire all the way through to separating from the company. Now, that said, if on the people or the employee side of things, I'm called in to do any kind of mediation, facilitation, training with teams or individuals, I don't actually provide the service of disciplinary action or an involuntary separation. Number one, that really shouldn't be my role because it's much more effective to have employers working directly with their employees. I am there to provide any kind of coaching or mentoring kinds of support, either to supervisors, owners, and also working directly with the individual employee or with, as I said, with teams. So the recruitment, pre-hire, onboarding, touching on benefits, performance, employee handbooks. I do a variety of different types of training and often explore opportunities with employers to customize training that they may need that I haven't offered yet. And I I think I've mentioned everything. I hope I'm not talking too fast, but I'm wanting to make sure I give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you may have.
Frank, you want to jump in?
Okay. Yeah. Teresa, this is Frank Perrin. I was wondering if you've worked with employees that have CDLs and, you know, are familiar with what the requirements are to have a CDL and also, you know, fulfill the drug policy that, you know, set out by the DOT. So I was wondering if you had any experience with those kind of employees.
Good question. I have not worked directly for a company where a CDL license was required or the random drug testing. I have had some clients who do have CDL drivers. They already have had or they already have had their CDL process and random drug testing process set up. So I have not had to do that on behalf of any clients. Is it something that I'm familiar with? Yes, but I have not specifically set that up for a client as of yet. Would I know where to go and what resources to look for and questions to ask and that sort of thing? Yes, I would need to be able to do that whenever I encounter anything that is a little bit different than I've had direct hands-on experience with in the past. So it's not something that would concern me per se in terms of my ability to be able to deliver a product to a client if that were requested of me.
Okay, yeah. Basically, we're working on a drug policy, and one of the problems is integrating that with our personnel policy, but that's down the road. The other question I have is, and I'm sure you probably have, we sort of have this mixed bag of employees. We have full-time people with benefits. We have part-time people. And we also have contractors, and one of the things we struggle with, at least I think we do, is treating them equitably and you know, recognize what they're doing. You know, because some of them may work, you know, many hours and then maybe not a lot. So anyway, I guess my broad question is, have you worked with companies where they have this mixed bag of employees to guide us on that?
Absolutely, especially with smaller employers who have differing needs. They typically will have full-time employees and then part-time, and the part-time can represent any number of hours. Also, employers who may have temporary or seasonal positions as well, which is another classification. Question, when you're talking about contractors, are you talking about people that you hire to do certain types of work that have their own companies, or are you meaning that you actually have contracts with your employees, some of your employees?
That's both.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's sort of both, and one of the questions is how do we handle those? So, again, that's just something down the road to talk about. Yeah, the other thing that I think one of the important things for me is we're hiring an HR person to sort of keep us on track with performance appraisals and, you know, perhaps benefit things and sort of the yearly things that, you know, as busy select board members, we get distracted and those things fall by the wayside. So I'm looking for someone who, you know, will remind us that, hey, you got so-and-so's performance appraisals due by the end of the month. So I'm sort of looking to see that's part of your package of A's.
That certainly is something that I am able to do right now. What I've been doing with most of my clients is they want to handle most of that internally. The way that I typically would work with them and the way I see in this example this happening is really to be setting up a system just as I did when I was working for employers where the HR department is responsible for reminding supervisors, managers, and leaders of all of those responsibilities prior to them coming up, queuing up the paperwork, providing any kind of support in the performance process that might need be available and just being that resource. So being that, you know, kind of reminder, I can see how that could easily work. It's just a matter of knowing these are the things that we need to have our finger on. We are depending on you to provide the paperwork, as I said, the performance example or the performance appraisal in this example, and then making sure that you have that in advance so you have lead time to prepare that, and making sure that, for example, with performance appraisals, that there has been coaching, mentoring, support, recognition, whatever form that might take for employees prior to the performance review, and that there are no surprises, that employees are aware of how well they're doing, areas that maybe they might need to be improving upon, and how well they're doing achieving their goals. So that I can see working without any difficulty that I can think of.
Okay, thanks. The last question I have is which is another thing that concerns us, is sort of we have policies and procedures and stuff, and I guess what I'm hoping is that you have, and because you live in North Clarendon, I'm not sure if you're familiar with all the state regulations, but what we're hoping is that we have somebody who can keep us in compliance with all state regulations and federal standards, and sort of keep us, you know, working down a line of using accepted standards rather than sort of going off making our own rules.
Yes, that is something that I have to stay on top of all of the time, particularly since sometimes the state laws in particular and to some degree as well the federal laws, they do change, and some things change in the middle of the year. So I am responsible for giving clients a heads up when maybe new forms come out, or, for example, paying attention to, in the past couple of years, things like ban the box, how that affects employers, Vermont earned sick leave law has been one that's been a bit of a challenge for some of my smaller clients to navigate through. Certainly policies and procedures, making sure that they align with the federal and state standards. Another example of that would be the strongly encouraged, I believe is the wording in the statute, that sexual harassment trainings are strongly encouraged for supervisors, so that supervisors are on top of that, making sure that the workplace is a respectful place to work and what to do if they bump into situations that may not meet that standard. So, again, those are all things that I'm accustomed to providing to clients.
Thank you.
Teresa, this is Scott. Can you tell us a little bit about, you mentioned some municipalities in your introduction. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with working with local government?
Sure. The work that I did with the two towns that I have the experience with, it was more project work. So in one situation, there was a need to hire for an open position, and I worked with the select board to tighten up their process and in their recruiting process, as well as work with them to develop some standard interviewing questions that would really help them vet each candidate that they were interviewing, working to develop kind of screens as they were looking and comparing applications to make sure that as they were moving through the process with the candidates that they were being consistent in their approach and that they could demonstrate that consistency as well as through the interviewing process. was following up with reference checks, supporting them in the interviewing itself, and making sure that everyone was on the same page in terms of these are the things that, you know, we can ask during an interview, these are the things that we wouldn't be able to ask, and here's why. They were aware of those things, but I think it's always important to make sure that we're asking all of those questions or bringing that information forth so that there are no surprises and that people feel as a team and individually they have the confidence to fulfill whatever responsibility they may have on behalf of their organization or their town. The other town that I work with, we work together with the town manager and the person who is the lead finance, had the lead finance position to develop a wage survey and or a wage analysis. And the reason that they opted to do that is because they wanted to be able to have a benchmark that could compare similar positions within the organization with regard to level of responsibility and also compare themselves outside of their organization with like-sized towns and other private industry positions so that as they were looking at their plan for succession as well as recruitment and retention, that they could see whether they were competitive or not. Other municipalities or that fall more under municipalities, for example, planning commissions, have really been a little bit more in-depth where I've actually helped them evaluate the HR documents and their processes and their handbooks to make sure that they were meeting a good standard and that it was a streamlined process. So some of it was creating new processes and procedures, and some of it was really looking at what they currently had and making sure that documents were completed properly, filed properly, and being disposed of properly, more of that administrative type of role.
Thanks, Teresa.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, John?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of more of a statement about our self-organization, but I think a big part of the problem is probably a lack of clarity in the process of doing stuff, but part of it's also a lack of follow-through on behalf of the board, myself, self-included. Maybe that's because of not always being clear as to where we should go and how we should do things, and maybe having a clearer path as to how that's supposed to be done would certainly help. But because of that, it certainly made it hard to make personnel decisions at times for myself. Just myself not being comfortable with making a decision based on not thinking that we've done things the way that they should be done, and trying to be fair to people when decisions, difficult decisions, do have to be made. And that's certainly something that I'm seeking to solve.
Any other questions from the board? Any questions from the audience? John? Any questions? Well, we thank you for your time, Teresa, and we appreciate you taking the time to be here, and we will get back in touch with you when we come to a conclusion as to what we're going to do and where we're going to go.
That sounds great. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. That's the end of the special meeting. Do we need to adjourn, Scott, or can we just start with the regular meeting?
We should just formally adjourn.
I need a
motion.
Made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Then we are adjourned, and it is now time to call to order the regular meeting. First off is public comment. Betsy?
Betsy Stebeck. I just want to say, I know that we have a lower police presence in the town, and I'm not even sure that what I'm going to say would be helped by more, but the speed that vehicles are traveling on our roads is scary at times, and I can specifically speak to in front of my house on the Pomfret Road, and then down towards Robbins, on the, and then also up the East Byron Road as well. And I don't know if you're aware of that, but I walk it. I've been walking it. It's my new route, and I've been walking it lately. And it's there's some cars that are downright dangerous.
I'm aware, and because I travel those same roads, and it's my understanding we just signed a contract with the state police that we can ask them to be in certain places at certain times if we so choose, mm-hmm. and we may do that. The board hasn't discussed that as a whole, but
people going down 30-40 in front of my house, but people going down to the interstate or up to are just flying.
Well, you should see them at 9 or 10 o'clock at night if you think they're flying during the daylight. They're really going. Anyway,
well, I just wanted to make that.
We'll take that under advisement.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Ona?
I'd just like to know how come this special meeting was adjourned and then you went into the regular meeting when one of the special meetings got canceled. And there was a big to-do about waiting until 7 o'clock to start the new meeting, the regular meeting.
The special meeting was a special meeting at 6, so there was one that late, and so we adjourned that when that meeting was over and started our regular meeting at 7.
But the special meeting that I'm talking about was canceled because there was only two of you here.
And no, it was not canceled. There were three of us here. One of us was here by speakerphone. It was not canceled, and we did have that meeting. However, because the regular meeting was not scheduled to start until 7, we waited until the public came. But the other meeting we did.
Okay, thank you.
Kevin, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I have. It's a road. Not a concern that I have that I just wanted to make note of. First of all, welcome Jim back to the crew. We certainly are glad to see you here. Down on River Road, the part of the River Road that we have is there's a huge pothole right there. It's always a pothole. And right next to it, between the pothole and the river, it's starting to erode to the point where if anybody tries to go around that pothole and gets caught in that erosion, they could end up on their roof in the river. And I just wanted to bring it to have somebody take a look at it. Maybe we can do something temporary. In the meantime, I know you guys are busy. I know you got plenty of work to do, but I'm worried about it.
I think that's right where the town line is. And 90% of that's probably in Hartford, but certainly a small portion of it is definitely in Palmerville. That's probably...
It's right on. I know, it is right there. Yeah.
Not that that's a reason for it not to be fixed, but...
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Emily, I've got a comment I'd love to read.
Okay.
I prepared a comment. I feel it's time to say some things publicly. So I'll just read my statement. It should come as no surprise to anyone in this room that there are deep problems within Pomfret Town Government. These problems have persisted for several months and have bled over into how we govern the affairs of the town. As a result of the current dynamic, we are becoming increasingly fractured within our own community. In addition to increasing tension, we also have a breakdown in understanding the roles and responsibilities between different parts of town government, as well as a blurring of lines of authority between different office holders. This is true now more than ever. Tonight, I'd like to call upon the Select Board to take positive action to address these larger issues. Inaction is no longer an option. The problems are very serious, and we need to address them one way or the other. We should not ignore the issues or pretend that they will somehow go away. And I think we should strive to find common ground with each other. I fear if we don't, the result will be further division and even more tension, and most importantly, a continued breaking down of the Select Board's integrity. Choosing to resolve the differences will require us to be open and honest with each other. I hope we can find it in ourselves to come to the table and figure out how to work together. And with this, when we get to reviewing the agenda, I'd like to ask the board that we agree to hold some special meetings together to talk about some of these issues.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Any other public comment?
Is it fair to respond to the comment that Scott just made?
I've
made some kind of pointed comments at the Select Board meeting in the past, and I find it very hard to sit here and listen to Scott's comment as if the rest of the board is failing in their duties to the town. Because when I think of the particular issues that Scott has brought forward that have touched me in my role as town treasurer, I would have to say that by and large, they have been items that have not had any significant monetary value. I would cite the cost of copies to the town, but that were a very time-consuming issue to resolve. The issue that I think the Select Board is very generous tonight to devote time to talking about hiring a personnel consultant at a rate of between $60 to $100 an hour to resolve differences with regard to presumably the only three full-time people who are employees of the town, and make sure that the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted on their job descriptions, which we're supposed to be able to get by virtue of the membership fee we pay to VLCT. And I could go on with issues with regard to Scott calling directly the municipal accountant that we rely on to verify our books every year, who has more than 25 years of experience, that Scott insulted, and a variety of other things. I don't want to go into them now, but believe me, of the various people in this room, there are probably a list of five that each person could come up with of issues that Scott has been the instigator on. So if there's dysfunction on the Select Board and he feels beset upon about it, he ought to take a look in the mirror and recognize that most of them are his instigation, and if he would resign, a lot of those problems would go away.
Point of order, Chairperson. In our Concord Select Board Rules of Procedure under 7F7, and I think this is something I was going to address later, but I'll do it now because it seems timely. It says, members of the body and members of the public are prohibited from making personal, impertinent, threatening, or profane remarks. And I think one of the problems is that people have been coming here and airing personal grudges and stuff, and it's not in keeping with our rules and procedures. I think we've strayed quite a bit from that. I've probably been guilty as much of that in the past and apologize, but this public display of personal nature, singling one person out, is out of order.
I would potentially and probably agree with that, but I don't know how we resolve our issues without getting into the weeds on things, and maybe that should be an internal Select Board discussion. I don't know if we can have a discussion in private regarding those things, but for a Select Board, I have no problem with what Scott wrote. We definitely have an issue, but going beyond, I would love to elaborate more right now, but I don't know as though I want to, but in light of things that have happened prior to meetings in the previous 2 weeks, the issue is larger or maybe narrower than a broad Select Board problem, although I can't necessarily speak to it. I was not here and did not witness said event, and therefore I will not speak to it, but I know that there were people here, and I would hope that they would speak to it.
especially the ones that are not on the board. And I would also like to point out, it is in our select board rules of procedure, F number 4, or public participation, that the public is allowed to speak to the board as a whole and may speak to an individual member.
Just a moment, and I will recognize you. As an individual who, by another board member, prior to the Board of Civil Authority meeting, got threatened, was talked to with profane language, was put in my face at about this speed, at this distance, and would not let me get into the building and continued to swear, cuss, and whatever as I made my way to the building. And I won't mention names if we don't have to or we aren't supposed to. And if Steve Chamberlain hadn't come out to ask him to stop, I might still be there. I think that, yes, this is a dysfunctional board. And I never, ever have been afraid to go anywhere in this town in my life. But I am now. And for that, I feel terrible. And for that, I feel there is no excuse. And for that, something needs to be done. And I agree, something needs to be done. But I won't mention names. Betsy?
I just want to say that I heard Scott, I don't know all the details of everything, but I heard Scott's statement, and I didn't hear what Ellen heard. I didn't hear an attack on the board. I heard a plea for people to resolve a problem. So that, I think, is a reasonable thing. I have a very hard time with personal attacks, as the one I just heard from Ellen, actually. But beyond that, I just want to suggest that this board get some mediation, because you're not going to solve what I'm hearing is pretty intense on your own. There's too much baggage already, and that you get somebody who doesn't have any side in this at all to sit down and do some mediation with you, because I don't think this is the moment to come out with this stuff. I think you need to have a time, and it probably has to be public. This is not executive session stuff. But I think, I don't know about mediation, but I really want to encourage you, just in the 2 minutes that I heard what I just heard, I want to encourage you to get somebody unbiased from out of town and try to solve this. Because I think you're all good people, and I think you work hard for the town.
Norm?
I was a witness to this incident, and Emily has a right to be afraid. It was threatening, in your face, very loud, and until Steve went out, it would have continued. And Steve had to forcibly, with his voice, stop it.
Bethany?
I was also a witness to it, to the incident. And it shook us, everyone who witnessed this. And there were people in this room, windows were open, we heard everything. I wonder if the select board rules of procedure apply to interactions with other board members outside of the meetings, or if this is just, is it just directed toward how the meetings are run? Because the way that Emily was spoken to was vulgar, was harsh, and frankly, we were quite stunned, and it took a few moments for us to react and for Steve to get up and go out and stop it. Personally, I was afraid to go and stop it. Working in this office, we are incredibly exposed. My in-laws live in Virginia Beach, around the corner from the municipal building where the disgruntled employee went in and shot a lot of people. We have no protection here. If someone is to fly off the handle and become unstable and lash out, there's no protection here. There are no doors that lock. There are no back doors that we can get out quickly. And that's what was going through my mind listening to the altercation in which this person had waited for Emily to arrive, had been ignoring people saying hello to him out in the parking lot. And he was lying in wait to pounce. And it was frightening. And there has to be a point at which the person has to accept responsibility for their personality, for their actions, for how they interact with other people. Because this is not just a personality conflict with one other person. There is a room full of people here who witnessed it. There is a room full of people here who have been affected by behaviors in the past. And I don't want to be afraid to come to work. I love my job. I love working for the town. But I will not put my life in danger because one person has a temper that cannot be controlled.
Yeah. So I also was here at that meeting, which was the beginning of a BCA hearing, and not. But the person whose behavior was in question here, it was not becoming of a select board member. I don't know what brought it on. I have no idea what the details were. I did hear through the mic what was going on. I'm actually the one, when the swearing started, I actually got up out of my chair and said, this is enough, and that's when Steve intervened. But again, I just wanted to bring to light that as a select board member, your behavior 24/7 should reflect your position in this town.
So this is all being directed at me, and so I guess it's time for me to respond. There's a room full of people here who, I take it for what it's worth. People have assembled to state their viewpoints. So first I want to apologize. I lost my cool talking to Emily. I was very upset, as everybody knows. Nobody was ever in any physical harm. I'm not that type of person. I've never hit anybody in my life. I've never exhibited any physical violence toward anybody, so rest assured. Yes, I was upset, and I'm happy. If the room would like an explanation why I lost my temper, I'm happy to do that. I would also point out, though, that Emily, to a large extent, was an equal participant in the yelling. She, too, was yelling at me back. Granted, I was probably more upset than she was, but she was pretty close to being an equal participant from where I stood. You all may differ from that, but that's my viewpoint. I guess what I would say is that, number one, I'm not going to resign, so let's just take that off the table. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to serve out my term, and we'll go from there. I think that if we are going to figure out how to work together, in my opening statement, I talked about how some ideas of how we do that. So if we want to come to the table and figure out how to work together, I think we should do that. Or we can just live with the tension that exists. But I'm not going anywhere. So I know that there's a lot of people assembled here who would probably like to see me resign, but it's not going to happen. I think if folks think that there is some sort of valid claim to make against me legally, please, by all means, I'm not afraid to be held accountable, and I'm perfectly happy to face any of that. But I would turn that back on some of the other people who have spoken today. Because there have been some things done, in my perspective, that have been extremely unfair to me over the past many months. I've been accused of workplace harassment. I've been accused of violating the conflicts of interest policy. I've been accused of violating the joint authority statute. And I was accused most recently of sexual harassment, none of which actually stand, in my opinion, any validity whatsoever. And I've said this to Ellen before in the past. If you think I should be held accountable to any of those things, please bring it forward and let's deal with it. I have never, in the months that this tension has existed, not once, and in fact, I have repeatedly said to folks, if you've got a complaint with me, bring it forward and let's deal with it. But what needs to stop, and it's fine, I respect everybody's public opinion here tonight, but what needs to stop is this sort of ganging up mentality on people, because that's how I see what's happening right now. Again, if you've got a valid claim, let's bring it. Let's talk about it. Let's get it out in the open. Don't just kind of lay it out there and try and intimidate me into resigning, because it's not going to happen.
Any other public comment? Let's move on with the agenda then. Review of agenda.
I would like to add to the agenda a proposal that the board schedule three special meetings so that we can talk about these issues we just talked about.
Any other additions or omissions?
Just would like to know if we could have an update on what Bob Merrill's going to do with that website stuff. There's some privy to that information.
Anything else? Ellen?
The only things that I wanted to mention were, and I don't know if you want to discuss them as part of the agenda, but I guess I wanted to make sure that people were aware of them. We have sent out all of our tax bills, and after they were all mailed, we were notified by the state of Vermont that they had miscalculated the rate that the homestead people would be paying. They've reduced it by roughly 6 cents, but we're in a position now where we're going to have to prepare new tax bills for all the Concord residents. And I'm working with NIMRC to figure out how they're going to do the programming for that and get it done. And then the other issue I wanted to bring up is that I'm having preliminary conversations with Chad Hewitt about the closing the books on last year. And one of the issues he brought up was questioning the select board as to whether they would like to move the $200,000 that was in the operating budget for the highway paving to put that in the reserve fund for paving, so to use the same thing as they can.
Let's put the paving money with the warrants for approval while Ellen is still here. And the others we can add at the end. Unless, are you going to stay for the entire meeting, Becky and Ellen?
No.
Then let's put the Bob Merrill thing before the road foreman report, because they have been dealing with him and I have not. I need a motion on the amended agenda.
So moved.
Need a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Moving on. Approval of the 7:03:19 minutes. Any questions? Concerns?
I've got one concern, and it's more of a general concern. Let me bring it up here so I can find a practical example. I don't have any comments on that.
On the road foreman's report, on A, you should make that. Is it Scott Jensen that came with the tech call that wasn't there? You should make sure it says Scott Jensen so they don't confuse that with Scott.
J-E-N-S-E-N is how it's spelled.
Anything else on the minutes that need to be changed? All those in, I need a motion.
So moved.
Need a second?
Second.
All those in favor of approving the minutes as proposed?
Aye.
Any against? The minutes are approved. Warrants for approval? We have a warrant, a check warrant, accounts payable for, it's number 19007 for $44,143.93. And a payroll warrant, 19006. For a total of $6,658.13. And I move that we approve both of those. Do you have a second?
Second.
And you all.
For services, and let's see what paid. The tax only $75, but Bob, we paid over $1,400. And did we go through our typical process of getting a contract in place with him?
No, you made the motion to get him in, and that's what we did. You asked about how much we should offer him, and I said he's a private person.
Right.
He'll charge us his rate. He's not an employee, he's a contractor.
Right, so what we should have, so we should have done as a follow-up is gotten a contract in place with him.
Well, we didn't do that.
We can still do it. It's not too late. We should do that. We should do that with all our independents, just like we do with all of our contractors.
All those in favor of approving these?
Aye.
Any opposed? Payroll warrants are approved. Now we have, Ellen had a question for me. The paving money, $200,000, is that we budgeted for paving is not going to be, was not used in the last fiscal year. She asked if we wanted to move that into the reserve account with the other paving money, and so we need a motion to that effect if that's what we choose to do.
We actually don't have the authority to do that. That's what I was wondering. Did we ever resolve whether or not we could move money into the reserve account? My recollection is that we couldn't, but I didn't come prepared to cite any.
No, the VLCT has cited it many times that the select board has the authority only to spend the money once it's in the reserve, but it's only the voters that have the authority to put the money into the reserve. But it really shouldn't be an issue because that money rolls over into the operating budget anyway. So it's there.
I understand that, but Chad Hewitt, in his discussions with Ellen, would prefer to see all the paving money come out of the paving reserve rather than have it come out of multiple locations. If we can't do it legally, then we won't do it. But he would have preferred to have seen it go that way. Ellen, did you have anything to say? Did I represent that conversation correctly?
Yeah, so I guess the question is, can we do it legally? Let's not do something that we're not supposed to do.
I'll call legal cities and towns tomorrow or email them and see what they have to say. So we don't have a decision for you there. Business items for discussion and vote, Bob Merrill. Can you and or Ellen give a report as to how he's coming along?
I've been spoken to him in a couple of days since he's been, a couple of weeks actually. He hasn't been available. He's very busy coming here right now. But he's come up and taken a look at the server. He's made contact with Tad, and they've worked out some kinks that were in the system. And then from there, we're just waiting as things arise.
Did he replace that piece of equipment that he found missing?
No, not yet.
And is he going to? Do you know?
Hopefully. I think we're trying to figure out if there is a way to get a cloud backup set up so that it can bypass the system that was in place before, and it's a matter of changing out another piece of hardware to allow. Because our backup's quite large, it won't all go up, it times out before it finishes backing up. So they're looking into options for that. The only other question that we're going to ask Bob is about the highway department computer, it was set up quite a number of years ago by a previous select board member. And it's been quite a struggle for the highway department to get it to work properly, be able to log into the things they need to log into and get the timesheets to work out the way they need them to. So I'm going to see if Bob already came down and took a look at it. He couldn't make it work.
It's kind of old.
Yeah, it's not ancient, but I think it's currently the oldest computer in use.
It may be easier just to replace the thing and start over. Maybe we should ask for a price on that before we get a lot of work on it.
We just replacing the computers in the office. It was less than $1,400 per machine to replace my computer and Ellen's computer when we had the crashes. So that's a possibility. But I don't know that it was budgeted for, so that's to figure out where it would where that would come out.
Any comments? Questions from the board?
No, I mean, other than it would be nice, and I'm not sure. I mean, has anyone from the board been assigned to interact with Bob, or is we just sort of turned it over to Becky and Ellen?
I interact with him.
I guess my question is, it would be nice if the highway crew records could transfer somewhere else. My understanding is they stay on that computer, the timesheets and all those things. And the problem is that computer crashes or whatever, we lose a lot of that valuable information. We've asked for it, and we've got it pulled up from past years, but we don't have FY19, so I don't know where it is. And it'd be nice to see that. So that's an issue that, either select board contact or whatever.
Which is part of the reason for SharePoint is that to get a lot of that stuff up on SharePoint so that we've got it in another place.
Yeah, because I'd like to take a look at that. I guess the other question I have is on the contact with Bob Merrill. You know, technically who's given his marching orders. It's come to my attention that he's been asked to investigate another town official. And I find that kind of disturbing that action hasn't come through the select board for us to discuss whether or not there should be a forensic analysis of our computer system against another person. Certainly, I don't think it's within the scope of what I had in mind when we hired Bob, and so I will note that I think it's inappropriate, and perhaps we need to discuss that when we get into if we decide to meet and resolve things. And I think I smell a sort of some backdoor dealings that
that is not the case. He was asked if he could find out where the documents were that were missing, that came up missing. He wrote an email and he said that these people, he gave a spreadsheet, these are the people that have been into the system. If you want me to look for where the documents went and who put them there, I can do that. It will cost you X number of dollars per hour. I will need to have so many, I will need to know the days when you think they might have disappeared, or it's going to be extremely expensive. And if someone was going to give him authority, I guess it would have had to have been me, and I did not feel comfortable giving him any authority, and so I let it drop, because I kind of thought it really didn't matter where they went. John was able to get them back. I guess it was John. And so the information was back on the website, and it really didn't matter where they went, and I thought that we could probably spend our money more wisely. So I just never replied, and I felt that we weren't going to do that. Now, if the board wants to do that, that's a board decision. But I did not give him permission to do that. I did not ask him to do that. However, he did make it clear that he probably could do that if that's what we wanted. And if you all want that, we can do that. I personally think it's water over the dam, and the documents are back, and it really doesn't matter. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay. But what prompted him to ask us if we wanted that done?
I asked Ellen to ask if he could find the documents so that we could get them back. I asked Ellen to ask him that.
Okay. Well, I have an email that names a particular select board person specifically and says they would like to know what they've been doing and whether or not to. I think, I can go on, but I won't belabor it. But anyway, I find it concerning that we have, a request put in, because he's certainly responsible for that did come from the select board. I was hoping that, we could get Bob to work across all the lines and take care of all of our problems and sort of just digging into past history and trying to implicate someone is outside the scope of what I think...
I did not give him authority to do that.
Okay.
Neither did Ellen.
Okay.
That's going to have to be a board decision. If you want to do that, that's fine.
Don't.
I just think it's far over the dam, personally.
I understand.
Any other comments from the board?
They're back, so at this point, it doesn't matter.
I think it's worth noting what happened. So if we're just talking about audio files, this is something I talked about Merrill several months ago. Maybe even a year ago. Those files, we lost a lot of audio recordings quite a while ago. And it has nothing to do with the website. It actually had to do with the server. Bob actually, when this came up, because this was in the context of another conversation with Bob, he was actually able to recover a lot of those recordings because he had some of them on his own personal PC since he had been doing work for the town. So the loss of a lot of, unless there were recent audio recordings lost, there was a big chunk of audio recordings lost quite a while ago. And and Bob did recover those.
I think there was an issue with the website, and I don't know what happened to it. There was stuff up there that Cynthia has put up, and then it disappeared, and I think Scott got some of it back up. I got the audio back up, but you got some of it
I
back
got all
up.
The meeting minutes and agendas back.
I reattached audio recordings, I think all of them, I'm not sure. This isn't what we discussed at the last meeting, isn't necessarily on this agenda, but part of it, I'll speak up on that, I'm sorry.
No, that's
usually what you're raising your hand for.
I'll tell you when to speak up. I have a question.
Just a minute. Again, it doesn't matter where they went. I think the biggest thing that we need to decide, and we discussed it last time, but then there's a discussion from a board member that wasn't properly warned, and so maybe we shouldn't be talking about this again tonight, but what format we want to have stuff on. I think some of what triggered this that got us all started in the weeds all in the first place and got us into the discussion that we had in public comment earlier. Certainly, again, I don't know how far we want to get into this, but I don't want to blame anybody other than again, I wasn't here at the last meeting, which wasn't actually the select board meeting. But some of the stuff went missing. Cynthia had been posting stuff, and then it had gotten reorganized from what I call plain text into HTML format. And then there's been discussion about that, both at a meeting and outside, between myself and... Anyways. We need to decide how we want to post that. Cynthia can't do HTML format, and people shouldn't be going in and changing things on their own. And again, it doesn't matter who did it. We just need to come up with the way that it's going to be done moving forward. And again, it doesn't matter how it's been done in the past, as long as it continues to be done the way that we decide that it's going to be done, not by me, not by Emily, not by Frank, not by Scott, not by Becky, but the way the board is going to decide that that page is going to be managed. That's certainly part of where we got started down the street that we're on today.
That will be covered in L. But let's finish with the Bob Merrill issue and get that over with.
My broad question is Bob on top of these things, and is he aware of these, and is he managing this so that we stop this? That he's aware of this, he's working on that, right?
He's working on that and trying to get the equipment that was missing back, I understand, or finding a way around it. There's some equipment that is missing that was here a year ago.
It was here. Nobody's really looked for it. It's not something you'd go and say, oh, that's missing.
And so hopefully he can get us, he and Tad Richardson can get us on a path to get things so we can get things to the cloud. And that's what he's working, that's what they asked him to work on, and that's what he's working on. He's not tracing where emails went or where data went or where the minutes and all of that. He's not been given any authority by anyone to do
so
that.
So he's tracking down and resolving these
the
variety
physical,
of issues.
The physical issues of the system that he put in, did he not?
I don't know. I wasn't
here. He was here when it was implemented, I think he was.
Yeah.
He was part of the procedure. So that's what he's doing.
I just wanted an update because we hadn't talked about it.
Anything else on Bob Merrill? Okay, moving on. I'm sorry.
Well, not so much a question, but a statement. All of the stuff that we're talking about right now, the missing files and everything, didn't happen over a year ago. It happened at the beginning of May, 2 months ago.
That's right.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Moving on to road foreman report.
So I did call Mike.
Lately?
Yep. And talked to him about Allison's culvert down there. And he's put me through to Scott's. And Chris Bolton was going on vacation this week, I think, and then he'll be back. When he gets back, he's going to call. And he did say that he, from what Mike was telling me, was they're pretty much the minimum is what we have for the culvert, the 30-inch culvert to be put in there. And if we can bring it in that minimum, that's gonna, so the box is going to come up and just look at it and see where that comes in.
Okay.
We had that walk around there with Wade Mashur down there.
Yeah.
And there was the GFIs that were up there that you picked up on. They were GFIs. I have reached out to Jason Kerr, and he hasn't called me back, Kerr Electric. So I give him another day or two. If he'll call me back, I'll try to call somebody else to see if they'll come in and do it.
Did you, those dropouts, none of those are GFI. And Wade didn't like the looks of those.
Mm-hmm.
He said we had to do better on that.
Yeah.
And While we're talking about that and his visit down here further, Highway Garage Insurance, you might want to think about this before we get down to that. Neither the salt shed nor the back shed where they're storing equipment is insured. It's not on the policy. And so if we want to add those buildings onto the policy, then we need to contact them and get that done. And so those we did take measurements. Jimmy and I took measurements of those, and so we can get that done if you all want it. And everything else looked pretty good. He didn't find much else wrong.
Yeah, no, he was going to write up what it was.
He report. Has not sent the report yet.
And once he gets the report, and whatever else he come up with, then we'll be on it.
He also did say there's still some money available. And he thought that low temp alarm and fire alarms with that system that you already put in would be great. And he thought there was still some money available in those grants. So Jimmy was going to call Royal and see. I had asked him for a proposal for that a couple of months ago. They might have it ready by now. I'll try and reach out to them again.
Who are you calling?
It's Royal Security in Rutland. I believe that was the name, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
He thought that would be a good idea. What else you got?
Truck number two is done. They ended up coming up, Sables, and pulled it down to ATG. And it ended up being the dozer pump that was gone on it. And amongst that, then there was some coolant leaks that was on the reservoir of it, and a few other things that they picked up on what was down there. That bill's going to end up being $3,493.28. It's down there right now, but we got to pick it up. But we just got one back, and the other truck that we got back would have been truck three.
Sorry, Jimmy, can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah,
thank you.
So we got truck three back, and they repacked the axle, so we got front axle on it, took it back. Well, it's got a right side there, driver's side, the inner seal on the axle, so we can pretty good. Don't even have 200 miles on it, so it's got to come back. So we're going to take that one back down, drop that one off, and then bring it all back.
If that's only like 200 miles, can we get them to do that for nothing? If that's what they did before?
I'm pretty sure that's, yeah, they're going to take care of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the road-to-road project, probably a couple, few more days left on the stone line in and getting it completely wrapped up on that end of it, other than putting the iron back on it. But the numbers that I've got right now with the materials that we've used on it and the labor and the equipment as it stands right now is $27,000. And then with the additional hard pack that we're going to have to put on it, and I just called down there when they give me a price on it, and I measured the footage of the road and everything. It's 1,000, he said about 1,000 ton. It's 8 inches on the whole road. It was it's going to be an additional $14,000 for that $27,000.
So the $27,000, is that including another 2 or 3 days of work or not?
No. That's where we're at right now with it.